This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Each night I pray that we'll never come a day when you up and take your love away.
Say you feel. We're going to be live at Schnucks on St. Charles Rock Road tomorrow, correct?
Yes, I believe it's 9070 St. Charles Rock Road tomorrow.
Hopefully, question mark.
Well, I was thinking today would be a great day for free food if someone's to bring some by.
There's more pastries out
tomorrow.
Here. What's going on, guy? We got
today is Doug Vaughn's birthday, so someone brought him some treats.
Oh.
Why don't you text Doug a happy birthday? Yes, 9070 St. Charles Rock Road tomorrow from 10 until 2, because you guys, a lot of you, you're the opening act for 590 Baseball.
We're like the JV.
Right, yeah.
JV
for
plays
the 1
before
o'clock,
the varsity.
1 to 2 590 Baseball show.
It's you know,
the real reason why we're there.
You know, we look at series history or playoff history, and it means nothing. Hey, all time and game, it means nothing that particular night. But the Blues and Sharks, this is their career sixth meeting in the postseason, going back to 2000. And it's rotated. San Jose won. Then in 2001, the Blues won a six-game series. 2004, San Jose won a five-game series. 2012, the Blues won five-game series. 2016, the Sharks won, so it's the Blues' turn, right? They just kind of take turns winning these series.
Okay, so
I wouldn't
done.
Use that as a
it's
basis
official.
For like $1 million bet.
These aren't like hardcore hockey analytics.
No, this is advanced metrics for hockey.
This is called it's your turn. In 2016, when the Cubs were going for the World Series, my wife, who's not a huge sports fan, said, "Well, isn't it the Cubs' turn?" And I said, "No, there's no turn.
Well, it works.
They don't get a turn." And
she said,
"Well, no, they never win. Isn't it their turn to finally win?" I said, "We don't do that." But I'm saying in this case, we
Can
do.
Can you ask Craig Berube if it's their turn to beat San Jose this time?
Hey, Chief, I was just looking at some recent history here. I was thinking it's your turn.
What do you think he's gone from money-wise? Let's just say at the end of the regular season, he was looking at a three-year deal. Can I say it, $2 million a year?
It's amazing you said this because I wrote down, have Hoff look up average NHL salary. Because there's a few guys like Mike Babcock and Joel Quenneville who get $4, $5, $6 million like crazy money. But for the most part, like when Hitch was here, I think he was like 1.5.
But is it about two now?
Mike Yeo was making about $1 million.
A lot of them are unknown, but I mean, they usually hover between 1 and 3 outside of Mike Babcock, who's over 6. Barry Trotz, who's at 4. Claude Julien, who's at 5.
Okay.
Most of them, Boudreau's at about $2.6 million. Peter Laviolette's at $2 million, $2.4 for David Quinn and the Rangers.
So I think he was looking at 2
yeah.
at the end of the regular season. Now winning 2 rounds, is he at $3 million and 3 years?
And the Blues could cry poor, hey, we can't pay that kind of money. And then I would say, well, we heard you were sniffing around on Quenneville, weren't you?
Yeah.
And
Quenneville's going to be making 5.25 in Florida.
If I'm Craig Berube, I want to be at around 3 after everything I've done here and turn this thing around. These players love me. You want me here. If you'd offered me a deal in January, if I'm Berube, I would have taken 1.5. And
yeah.
I would have gotten locked
He's
up.
He's getting more than 3, I would think.
What? Well,
I mean,
it's a three-year deal. They offer Craig Berube $9 million. I don't think he's going to say, I'm going to hold off and wait for an opening.
I think it's closer to 4, and I understand the Quenneville, but I think just the rapport and the team actually generally likes the coach. And now with Hitchcock and Yo, you had some of the veterans that really didn't jive well with their coaching system. It looks like Berube not only gets with the young players as well as the veterans. So I think with that, you don't want to go with a new coaching search as well. I think that also adds $500,000 to the deal as well.
What did Army say the other day? There's no coaching search?
Yeah.
Or there are no applicants?
Which is a perfect thing to say.
Right. I bet they've already agreed on
something.
Or a handshake deal. But what if they get to the Stanley Cup Finals? Isn't that price? Doesn't it go up?
Oh, yeah. That would get them to 4.
I mean, I think it's going up. And that's what Strickland said. Why would they cut a deal either side? They don't know the price tag yet. I think if you get to the Stanley Cup Finals, if I'm Craig Berube, and we saw Barry Trotz got so mad at the Capitals and how they went about his deal, that's why he left.
He's at $3 million already. Even if you get swept by the Sharks, you know that won't happen, but even if you're at $3 million right
don't
now.
You ask him
the
that
length
today.
Is the key.
Ask him that today, Frank.
Chief,
what are we looking at number-wise for you? We don't care about your fourth line. We'll get to the Sharks talk later. What are you looking at It's amazing because at the beginning of the year, he was an assistant. You knew that he had been with the Flyers. You knew he had coached the Wolves. But I don't think anybody looked at him as the heir apparent. Even when they were going to fire Mike Yeo, you were thinking, well, are they giving it to Berube? I mean,
Plus, nobody knew.
Didn't
you know what? It's interesting because he won the locker room, but he didn't win the press conference. And what's more important?
Right.
To win the locker room. All right, let's welcome to the conversation the Hall of Famer, Rick Hummel. Rick, great to be with you. How are you, sir?
1 minute.
Oh, 1 minute. I'm sorry. I thought he said he's up. Okay. Let's respond to this. This is Hockey Bob. How are dynasties good for anyone except the city and the fans that root for the team? Dynasties breed contempt, which is never a good thing. So you're telling me that the Chicago Bulls winning those six championships was not good for the NBA, or the Lakers in their incredible run, or the Celtics in their incredible run, or the Edmonton Oilers. Dynasties are good. Now, we may hate part of the aspect of it because we don't have a chance to win, but it helps the sport.
Yeah, I think a lot of people enjoy greatness. And to see somebody do it again and again, that's not easy, we know, to repeat. You can get annoyed with a franchise like the Patriots. Some of that's because of Bill Belichick and his persona that we're aware of. Golden State's not an unlikable team. I just wonder for the league if every once in a while it's good that they get knocked off. But I think the majority of people do enjoy a dynasty, a great team, great run.
I mean, if you ask the average person who's not just like a basketball fan, who you'd rather watch in the NBA Finals, the Golden State Warriors or the Denver Nuggets?
Right.
Give me Steph Curry.
I think you got to root for the Nuggets to bow out because then Stan will have lost his Lanch.
That's good.
He lost the Super Bowl, loses Nuggets. That's – sorry. Hey, Stan, I want you to lose your Nuggets. Different headline.
All right. The Commish is with us now. Commish, good to be with you. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, sirs. How are you?
Very good. Right off the bat, this offense has issues, at least for the last week. What's your evaluation of that?
Well, I always like to give credit to the other side, too, a little bit. They have scholarship players also. So I think and Nola and Eichhoff, they ran into two really good pitchers the last 2 days. And going back to last week or so, you have Strasburg, and Hendricks has always given the Cardinals trouble. So they're facing a little better pitching than starting pitching than they faced in some of those other games. Now, with that said, some of your big hitters are not hitting. Goldschmidt, admittedly. Carpenter, better. They had 6 hits in 3 games there. Wong hasn't hit much lately. Bader hasn't hit since he's been back in the lineup. DeJong and Jose Martinez and Molina probably been the only real consistent hitters they've had for a while.
And, Commish, as much as Mike Schilt likes to leave it the same, which is sort of nice, that lineup night in, night out, it's pretty much the same. Anything you'd recommend if he asked or anything he could do right now to just shake it up a little bit?
I'd like to see Munoz play a little bit more. He's made 2 starts and he's had 5 hits. That's 2.5 hits per start. That sounds pretty good to me. And a guy plays 6 positions. Well, let's see him play some of those positions. I'd like to see him play 4 times a week, not once a week.
Yeah, now, how do you balance that with Colton Wong's psyche, which we've known in the past, and everybody wanted to blame Mike Matheny for Colton Wong not doing well? I mean, if this guy's hitting .380, don't you have to play him a little bit more at second?
Well, they don't have to all be at second base. He can play short a game or two. He can play third. He can play any of the outfield spots. I wouldn't limit him to just second base on this. That's where he played yesterday and looked all right. But he might get a little bit more time there with Wong at second base. But I wouldn't hesitate to play him anywhere. I mean, he played short one day in Washington, made an error that helped lead to 2 Washington runs. But he also had 3 other hits that day. So he's a serviceable player, and I don't want to save him for 1 at bat if I can get 15 to 20 at bats out of him a week.
If Waka were to stumble a couple of times in a row, or Hudson stumbles a couple of more times, do you think they have an obvious answer where they would go for somebody else to take a crack at the rotation?
Well, Waka has only had 1 start back since he well, 2 starts back, I guess, and he pitched okay in both of them. He allowed a home run to that softball player the other day, but that's not happening. The guy happened to swing where the ball was. There you have it, 4 runs. Ponce de Leon's an option, certainly, and Gomber's an option, and so is Jake Woodford an option this year. But I haven't seen anything that would steer me off the guys you just mentioned. Hudson threw 1 awful pitch to Harper the other day. Unfortunately, 3 fellows were on base at the time. But they also, the Cardinals are giving them 7 outs at that point, too. So I'm okay with what they have so far. I think they need to hope that Wainwright pitches as well as he has been for the most part. And Locke is a guy to look at, I guess, because he did miss a little time with his knee. And if he's not going to be strong, you may have to look elsewhere. But I'm okay with him.
The commish joins us, Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new Five Night of the Fan. The Dallas Keuchel possibility seems like it's zero here. Do you think if they did make a move, it would be one of these trade deadline, you know, with a veteran on a team that's not going to go anywhere?
Yeah, that's July 30th, 31st. They've got guys. I mean, Ponce de Leon came up and hit one game and was terrific. There's no reason why he couldn't do that again. Gomber's been good at Memphis, and so has Woodford. Who's not on the roster, that would be a little bit more of a paperwork to get that done, to bring him onto the 40 and then to bring him up. So that Gomber and Ponce de Leon will be the first two to come back. You're going to have Martinez back in the bullpen here pretty soon. And sometime later this summer, Alex Reyes will be a starter. I don't know if it's by the trade deadline or not, but at some point. So they like their options internally more than they like them externally right now. But you, like July 31st, if you got a chance to rent a guy for a couple months, you go for it.
Harper had the big hit, the one big slam, but otherwise pretty quiet series for him. I'm sure you talked to your Philadelphia friends and media types. How's the impact with Harper? And I guess the question is going to be asked at some point, is anyone worth $330 million? What's the Harper buzz you're hearing from folks in Philly?
Well, they're drawing a lot better. And that lineup, you put him in the middle of that lineup, that's a formidable group. You got Hoskins, 11 home runs hitting fourth. I like Cal Franco, a pretty good player, hitting eighth. That's a nice lineup. Cesar Hernandez and Odubo Herrera, a couple of seeming bit players, were the guys who did the most damage other than that one swing by Harper. Herrera had two or three doubles, and Hernandez had a home run and a double yesterday. So they're deep, and Segura is an excellent player. McCutcheon's fine. The catcher, Realmuto, was a steal from Florida. That's the best club in the division, I think, by a wide margin.
Christian Yelich hit his major league leading 16th home run last night. Is he the best player in the world not named Mike Trout?
Well, for the first 5 weeks, you got to put Cody Bellinger in that conversation, I guess, who's been hitting over 400 with about as many home runs as Yelich and more of everything else, and plays first base too besides playing outfield. But other than that, I would say Yelich and Trout would be one too. But Bellinger, for this conversation, is in the top three.
What do you make of Jason Hayward, who's just been a miserable offensive player the last two or three years or since he left here? He homered last night to win it. He's hitting .286. I know you watched him last week. What's he doing differently?
Well, he seems to not have the bat wrapped around his ear like he used to. He's got it away from his body. That's one thing I see from afar. He's been a good player before. I don't know why he was so bad in Chicago. He was a good player here the year he was here. He had some nice years with Atlanta, a couple of really nice years, and then some just all right. But he's that kind of hitter where he could hit .280 with, I don't know what his home run potential is. If he could hit 15, that's a good year for him. And he's not going anywhere. They gave him that 8-year deal, and there was an opt-out after the third year. Well, the third year just expired here last year after 18, and he wasn't going to go anywhere, and the Cubs are kind of stuck with him. So they're happy to be stuck with him now the way he's playing.
It was interesting to see Derek Gould, his game story, referring to Joe Maddon as lame duck manager Joe Maddon, but he is in that final year. Where do you see that headed? I mean, it's hard to believe that honeymoon is over already, and you hear a lot of reports that maybe Theo and Maddon don't really see things the same way, but do you think, I mean, they seem to be at least a playoff contender. Do you think Maddon is there a short leash there now for him?
Well, there shouldn't be. I'm certain there's friction between Theo and Maddon, and maybe there always has been, but I thought last year, with all the injuries the Cubs had, Bryant was hurt a lot of the year, or compromised at least a lot of the year. They had some pitching injuries, you know. Morrow was out late. They had all kinds of stuff going on, and they got to the playoffs. They got to the wild card game. They should have won the division, but they blew it right at the end. And I think he did a wonderful job then, and look at them playing now. They won, 9 out of 10 or something like that, and their pitching's coming around. Their lineup is good. Their defense is good. They can plug Russell back in there pretty soon. I guess he played yesterday. So I think there'll be a parting of the ways at some point, maybe after this year, because he'll want another multi-year deal. I don't think you would bring him back for 1 year, but I don't see any reason to let him go.
Do you think the reason for the strain in the relationship, and granted, you're not in the Chicago Cubs offices, but do you think the reason is that he doesn't embrace analytics as much as Theo, or that he's a media darling and kind of owns the town, or you tell me?
Well, there may be some issues with the analytics, how much he goes from that. I would think he'd be too smart to ignore them. You don't base your entire premises on analytics, but this isn't the first time we've heard of this. There was probably friction when they were winning, but they won, so that conquered all. But they might still win. There's nothing wrong with their team other than the fact that their bullpen is iffy without Morrow in it. I don't know that I could ride Pedro Strop as my horse for the closer the rest of the year, but they're getting by with him and Cishek. And Edwards is a guy that could be the difference, Carl Edwards Jr. They just brought him back. And they might be okay if he can be that closer, but I don't know that he's going to be.
Commish, how about your biggest surprise in baseball so far, team-wise, and biggest disappointment team-wise?
I'm impressed with Tampa Bay. I shouldn't be surprised, I guess. They won 90 games last year. But they picked up Charlie Morton. They have two or three. They got the kid from Pittsburgh that Glasnow was a steal. They got him and Meadows both, and it cost them Chris Archer. Well, Glasnow is better than Archer already. And they still have Snell, the Cy Young Award winner. So they got three top-line starters there. They get by with Tommy Pham and a bunch of guys you haven't heard of, but they've been in first place from the day one here. That's my surprise on the upside. I guess I'm even surprised with the Yankees, the way they played, because of all the guys they've had hurt with Stanton and Judge and everybody else. And I don't know. Let me think about this one more second here. In the National League, I got to think that Washington is a surprise as how bad they've been. I know they've had bullpen problems, and Rosenthal didn't help by being no good. But that's having them be that far under, they're one of the 800 or 500. That's probably the biggest surprise to me.
Good stuff. Commish, we appreciate it. We'll talk soon. Thank you, sir.
Okay, guys.
That's the Hall of Famer, Rick Hummel. By the way, Tommy Pham, 301, 419 on base percentage, and 882 OPS. Wow.
And they lead in run differential. They're 10 games over. The Rays are. Minnesota is 11 games over. And when he mentioned in the East, the Nats do appear to be. And they spent a ton of money. If I'm the Nats owner, I'm like, I'm wasting a lot of money here. They're 8 under. That division. I mean, Atlanta had a nice run last year, kind of surprised everybody. But how does Philly not win that division?
Yeah.
I mean, the right now, the Braves, Mets, Nats, Marlins are all under 500.
Tommy Pham is a 3-4-5 player since being dealt from St. Louis as a Ray.
Wow.
322 average, 433 on base, 547.
What is his salary this year?
Was it $2 million? No, $4.1 million.
Okay. Can you imagine, though, Dexter Fowler makes $16 million and he makes $4 million.
I guarantee he's thinking about that.
Yeah.
Probably every day.
Wonder if someone else is thinking about that. Probably every day.
A certain bow tie guy? Is that what you're saying?
Who traded him.
Yeah.
God, I hated that deal.
All right.
We got Gallegos, though, right? Or did we get Jenna Hennessy's?
Hennessy's Cabrera.
Where was Gallegos? Was he?
He was the Voit trade.
With Clay
Chase and
Shreve. Chase and Shreve.
Who obviously has made a major impression on
you. I can't get his name right.
Wow.
It's Chasen.
Now, what's your name again?
Do you speak English? Yeah, dude, I just came from the Yankees. I'm fine. Remember when he got there last year, he looked so heartbroken that he was traded from the Yankees and the Cardinals had a terrible record at the time?
He's terrible.
But he's your guy.
We should have said, dude, you're disappointed? How do you think we feel?
Yeah. We're not the guy hitting 30 bombs and you're awful.
All right, Lakeside Roofing brings us the commish. It was established in 72, solid reputation for excellence in the roofing industry. Their philosophy is focused around a relentless commitment to customer service, quality products, and outstanding workmanship. Lakeside Roofing's reputation is one of reliability, trust, high-quality work, and competitive pricing. They feature the finest quality roofing materials and provide expert installation. Call the professionals at Lakeside Roofing for your home or business in Illinois, 618-344-2800 in Missouri, 314-241-5253. 314-241-5253. Find them online at lakesideroofing.com. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.